The next teller is from Kentucky. She has a Cherokee heritage. She has a very strong inner spirit, and she shares her special stories and special talents. Ladies and gentlemen, Octavia Sexton.
Sometimes I say I might need an interpreter, but if there's anything that I say that you can't understand, ask me later and I'll try to tell you what I was talking about. Anyhow, when I was a youngin', that was a long time ago, when I was a youngin', I used to help Grandma and Grandpa raise taters. He raised an acre of taters. And we were out there in the field, we were chopping away on those weeds when the sheriff came down the dusty road and pulled up beside the field. Well, see, Grandma and Grandpa didn't have a telephone. And if there was any news to be had that was serious, the sheriff, he'd deliver it. So I knowed it was something, you know, important. But I was at the other end of the field. Grandma and Grandpa made their way over to him. And I saw Grandma go down on her knees and throw her apron up over her head. And Grandpa just got a blank look on his face. He turned and he started back to the house. Well, I knowed it was bad. I knowed that they was bad news. And so I just took off by running as fast as I could home, and I fetched Mommy. Mommy had a car. She's the only one in the family that had a car, because she's a widow woman and she'd had to learn how to drive. And by the time we got back out to Grandma's, kinfolk, news had got out, they'd gathered, knowed something was up. Well, Winnie and Grandma, she was just a squalling, carrying on. You couldn't get no sense out of her. Grandpa was sitting there on the horsehair couch, just not saying nothing. And finally, somebody had enough mind to give Grandma a teacup full of whiskey, and once she got that down, she got her speech about her, and she said that Amos had died. My Uncle Amos had died. That's her oldest boy. Well, once those words came out, I'm telling you, everybody went all to pieces like you'll have to, you know, in a time of sorrow. But finally, they calmed down and wanted to know more about it, and that's when the bad news came out. Uncle Amos had had himself cremated. Cremated. Now, you all might be used to such as that, but in my place, my culture, you don't do that, because we believe that your body has to be preserved, laid in the ground with your head facing the eastern sky, because, see, the good Lord's going to come back, and in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to raise up the dead. You're going to be given a new body, but we'd never heard of it coming back from ashes. So they didn't know if there's any help for him. Now, you might wonder, why did the sheriff come to give the word? Because Uncle Amos didn't live in Kentucky. As a young feller, he realized, you know, there wasn't no hope as far as income. And so he had headed up north, right past this place. Of course, it probably wasn't here, but he went across that Ohio River and got him a job in Cincinnati. Did real good for himself. Got him one of them bachelor pads. Never did get married. I reckon I got some Buckeye cousins in Ohio, though, even if we don't know each other. But anyhow, he always did intend to come back home. But he had died, and he had made arrangements to have his remains brought back home to be buried. But they were cremated remains. And he had had arrangements made for somebody to come up to Cincinnati and pick up his ashes to take him back to the house. Well, everybody, they were discussing this about who was going to go. And it was like, well, Mommy was the only one with the car. And so, but Mommy, she said, you can't leave during a time like this, because there's things to be done. There's cooking. You got to cook. I mean, you know, all family's going to come in. You got to feed them real good. Women folk just can't be running off. And so it was like, well, who's going to go then? And then they looked at me. I was 16, and I had my driver's license. And they said, she can go. Now, you might think, well, ain't she kind of young? See, what you don't know, of all the cousins, I was kind of the one that they kind of hoped might would get lost and not come back. Because I was all the time doing strange things that you really wasn't supposed to do. You know, we won't get into that. But anyhow, they said I'd go. Well, I was all for it. Because not only had Uncle Amos, left $50 for gas, he had arranged for whoever came to fetch him to stay in a motel. I had never been in a motel afore. I mean, I had never even walked on carpet afore. I had never had a bath in a bathtub before. We washed in little pans, and it's easy to do. You just do one piece at a time, and you get just as clean as if you get sopping wet all over. But anyhow, it was my duty to go and fetch Uncle Amos and bring him home. So I took off. Now, this I-75, it was brand new. Not very many people traveling it yet. Not much traffic. So I went up I-75, crossed that big bridge into the state of Ohio. There, that motel was right on the side of the road. I pulled in, walked in, and they were expecting me. They gave me a key, and they hand me this queer-looking jar, which they said held Uncle Amos. Now, Uncle Amos never had been a very big man, but I don't see how they managed to get him in that little jar. But I took it, and I took my key, and they pointed me to an elevator. Never been on an elevator. Folks, I rode that thing up and down, I bet you 5 times before I got off. Found my room. It was up on the 3rd floor. I went in there, and whoo! I thought, these people live in luxury. These northerners, they got it made. Carpet, bed already made up, had an inside toilet. But it was hot. And I didn't know nothing about no air conditioning. I'm sure it probably had air conditioning, but I didn't know such as that. And so I went over and opened up the window, and I set Uncle Amos there beside of me. Thought, you know, well, we would converse some, because it'd been a long time since Uncle Amos had heard any news from, you know, down in Kentucky. And so I'm there talking to Uncle Amos and telling him about how dry it was at the house and all, and that, you know, the taters wasn't doing too good, when all of a sudden I saw some storm clouds coming in. I said, look, Uncle Amos, I said, it looks like we're going to get a bit of rain, and we're needing it. And about that time, there was a clap of thunder, lightning shot down, and it startled me. I jumped up, and I knocked over that queer-looking jar. And it spun around, the lid fell off, it spun around, and Uncle Amos fell out into the alley below. And I was like, oh, Lord, Uncle Amos, come back. But by then, I mean, it was raining so hard, and what was left of him washed down in one of them storm drains. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm in trouble. Because, see, I knowed when I took that jar to the house, they were going to look. I know Grandma, she was going to open that thing up and see if she could recognize any little piece of him. And it was empty. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. This is bad. This is bad. Now, I'm a lot smarter than what you folks might think I am. I figured it's just ashes. Any ashes will do. I'll make some. And so I looked around in that room, and there was a phone book. I reckon it must have had the name of everybody living in the world. That thing was that thick, and I thought, that'll do. And I took that into the bathroom, and I tore it up into the bathtub, and I set it on fire. And it took off real good, you know. I was going to have me plenty of matches and ashes, you know, to go in that third jar, when all of a sudden it commenced to raining on me. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm a sorry. I thought he's put the storm in the room on me, and he's going to strike me with lightning because I was trying to do a untrue thing, you know, deliver the wrong goods home. When then I heard all these alarms and such going off, and I thought, wait a minute, what's going on? And I heard them outside hollering, fire, fire. And I looked up, and all that rain was coming from these little shiny faucets. And it was just sprinkling all over, and I thought, I done this. This is my fault, too. I'm in bad trouble. I thought, this is really, but why? How am I going to get out of this? Oh, they came a-banging on the door, hollering, are you all right? Are you all right? I opened up that door, and there was a fireman. They said, are you all right? I said, I am just fine, but my Uncle Amos fell out the window. They went a-running in. I grabbed that jar. I headed out. I didn't take the elevator. I ran right down those stairs. I jumped in the car, and I hit I-75 back across that bridge into Kentucky, and I didn't stop till I found me a little store, bought me a little tube of that airplane glue. I glued that lid on real good, and I delivered that to the house. Now, they gave Uncle Amos a good Christian funeral. Nice coffin he had. Preacher preached a good sermon of salvation while 3 of my other old drunk uncles got saved. And they buried what they thought was Uncle Amos in a family cemetery. But I knew the truth, and now you all do too. Thank you.
It's going to be a while before we hear a story like that again.